God always accepts an invitation, why don't we just tell him right now? You know what a funnel is? I'm sorry, do you know what a funnel is? How about the rest of you? Do you know what a funnel is? Kind of look like a funnel? Why don't we open up and let God pour in? Here, just raise your hands up. You know, in the old movies, like I watched, like watching all these old movies, they surrender. Well, surrender is good, but yielding is better. Yielding means to give the right away. Why don't you just raise your arm and just tell God, God, take this like I'm a funnel. And just come, just help me to get empty of self, sin, Satan, the world system, and my stinking thinking. Because I just want to get filled up with Jesus. Because like the kids say, I only want Jesus to live in me. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Oh, man. We got new business cards or whatever you call them for the church with the three prayers on the back. And there's going to be, are they over there? I don't see them. That's okay. Probably because I don't have my glasses on. Okay. But anyway, we got these cards. Next week, next Sunday, I believe it is, there is a car show. I called my dad down in Florida. One of my kids called me this morning. And I see his picture because I happen to have his picture when he rings. And I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, what's he calling me for, you know? I said, hi Jim, how you doing? And I said, how can I help you? And he mumbled something. I don't know what he said. He's kind of like joking or something. He kind of said it under his breath. I don't know what he said. And then he went on talking, just being his joking self. And I'm sitting there thinking, why did he call me? You know, it's Sunday morning. Shouldn't they be getting ready for church? We're getting ready for church, you know. Why did he call me? And then all of a sudden it dawned on me. It's Father's Day. And it's like, one of my kids called me Father's Day. Hey, you know, I forgot all about it. So as soon as I got off the phone with him, and finally he says, I just called you to say Happy Father's Day, you know, because he says all these jokes, blah, 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 says all this stuff. And then he goes, Happy Father's Day. And I go, thank you, son. You know, have a good day. Happy Father's Day to you, you know. And because he's got three kids. How many has he got? Man, there's so many of y'all, can't remember. Okay. You know, when you got six kids, 22 grandkids, and four great-grandkids, it's hard to remember who has who. You know what I mean? We just got them all. You know, I just don't remember who has how many, you know. But anyway, I can get all the kids' names, but when I get to the grandkids, I can't get them. But like John, Jim, Jackie, Jamie, Jody, and Janaya, I can say real quick. But then when I get to the grandkids, it's like I start stuttering, you know. But anyway, I call my dad to say Happy Father's Day, right? Okay. So I call him, and he, thank you, son, and he starts talking. He tells me, he says, yesterday, he said, there's a Baptist church here in town, down in Florida where he is, and he goes, they have a property right by two main crossroads, kind of like what we do, except for I guess they probably have bigger. And he said, and they invited a car show to come. And somebody contacted from a car show or something and said, could we use your property or whatever? And the church, the preachers, you know, they talked about it and said, yeah. Well, they used it to their advantage. And when the people came, they went out and served people drinks and did whatever, you know, and just went out and witnessed to them. And my dad went there because one of my sister lives over near there. And he goes, he said, when he was there, he goes, man, Harvey would like this. This is like Harvey place. You know what I mean? It's like all these fish. It's like a good fishing hole. You know, you get to witness to all these people in one place. Next Sunday, now this week my wife and I are flying to California and we'll be back on Saturday, but jet lag and all that stuff, we're not going to be like real good shape on Sunday, okay? But next Sunday there's going to be a car show. I think it's across the street in that parking lot, right? Well, we need to make sure we get that sign out that says free coffee with Jesus, you know, put it on the A-frame. And if next Sunday, if y'all would like, that would be like what I would like, but I don't know if you would like it. But, you know, does anybody know what, off the top of their head, do you know what John 13:35 says? Does anybody? That's exactly right. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another. It's not talking about I heart my chihuahua. Okay, It's talking about God's kind of love, unconditional, eternal love, accepting, believing in people just like they are, even when they're like Cheryl, and accepting them just like that, and loving her just like that, and allowing her to be like she is when she's a turkey, you know, but you just love her, and because you see, she loves God. Agape love, exactly. Godly love. Good. I know some Greek too. He's a little guy. He's about that big. And my point is that we're supposed to love one another. And there's going to be all these people that are here. And we got all these cards. We got about 2,000 of them printed out. I wouldn't mind paying to have them printed again. Okay? And if y'all want to come here and give these out. And the reason, on the back, they got the three prayers that we like to share with people. And they're on the back and they got verses. And... but it would tell them, because you know what? Everybody needs Jesus. And everybody, whether you realize it or not, everybody is looking for Jesus. Now, everybody may not realize they're looking for Jesus, but they're looking for, you tell me who doesn't want this. Who does not want to be loved? Who doesn't want to be believed in? Who doesn't want to be accepted? Who doesn't want to have people want to be with them and spend time with them for who they are instead of what they do? Who doesn't want that? See, everybody wants that. And that's Jesus. You see, God loves us just like we are. He loves us for who we are. He knows us. He knows who we are without the corruption. You see, He knows who we are. But we've all been corrupted by choices we've made, by things that we've been involved in, by things that we've allowed into our lives. But God knows. It's kind of like the mom who has the guy that he's a serial murderer, or he's whatever, you know, he's in jail and he's notorious. But the mom said, he's a good boy, you know. Why? Because the mom knows who he is. The mom believes in him. Well, God believes in you. And people need to know that through us, because they can't hear it from him. God chooses to work through us to let others know. Okay? So next Sunday, if you would like, there's going to be like thousands of people over there. And if you want to just take a stack of cards, go over there, invite people. If some of y'all, I'm just letting you know, after going to California back, I'm not going to be up to this, okay? Because that would be my normal. I would love doing that, you know? When we first came to Grand Rapids and I preached for a week, I kept telling the people, on Thursday, we're going to do something you hadn't ever done. I said, be here on Thursday. So on Thursday, we had all these people fill the building. And on Thursday, I preached a real short sermon, which was a miracle in itself. They even wrote it down in history books. And I said, now what we're going to do, we've been talking all week about loving others to Jesus. I said, we're going to take some tracts, like these are like tracts, but we're going to take tracts that tell people about Jesus. And we're going to go over here to Myers at 54th and Division, and or whatever it is, I'm sorry, 52nd and Clyde Park or whatever. And I said, all of us, and we're going to go over there, and we're just going to spend 2 or 3 hours just loving people to Jesus. I said, do not take tracts and put them on a windshield. You can't lead a windshield to Jesus. Okay? So don't go stick them on a windshield or anything like that. I said, and if you go to hand them somebody, and I taught them how to do it. And you know what? There was over 70 of us. Remember that, Lois? There was over 70 of us. And we went over there, and we spent 2 or 3 hours just loving people to Jesus. Of course, I told them what? We didn't get kicked off. I was just about to tell that. We had the, I told him, I said, if y'all have any problems, any security guards or something, I said, bring them to me. So, in just a little bit, here comes somebody with a security guard. And he said, they said, you're the head person here. And I go, yeah. And he goes, will you come with me? I go, sure. So we go inside. And when I still go to Myers, and this was 1989, and when I go to Myers, I still see one of those managers there. I mean, there's probably more, but I always see this one all the time when I go there, and I remember you were in that gang. So they walked me in the building, the security guard, and there was like 20 managers. I didn't even know they had 20 managers at one time. I just thought they had a few, you know. They must have had 20 of them. And they all ganged around me, and they were giving me the look. You know, you've had the look given to you. They were all giving me the look. What are you doing? I said, well, I said, my name's Harvey Hampton. I'm an evangelist preaching a week-long meeting over here, and we're out. Just wanted to come and share Jesus with people. And the head guy was asking me these questions. So he keeps asking me questions. And finally, when I got all done, he said, how long are you going to be here? I mean, he's third degree in me, asking me all these questions. Everybody standing there, you know, looking at you. There's about 20 of them, you know. They don't realize the second machine shop God put me in, I used to have 200 guys gather around me to intimidate me. So 20 didn't really bother me. They don't understand, you know. So anyway, the 20 of them are sitting there looking at me and giving me the look. And the one, he's asked me all these questions. And finally, when he gets done, he said, how long are you going to be here? I said, we're going to do this another 2 or 3 hours. He said, well, what if people don't want it? I said, I've taught all of our people. I said, all we're trying to do is, could I share this with you? Would you like Jesus? I said, and if they don't, God bless you. You know? And he said, well, what if they throw, he said, we don't need trash all over. I said, I've instructed our people. If anybody throws one on the ground or drops it, I want you to go pick it up. Because I'm a good Boy Scout. You know, leave the campsite cleaner than you found it. Okay? And you know what the head guy said? He said, okay, go ahead. And as soon as he said that, all 20 of them start smiling. You know? That's how it always is. So we did that for about 3 hours. And we just witnessed to people. And just share Jesus with them. You know what? How do you spell God? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. How do you spell God?
G-O-D.
How do you spell? I know, I keep working with y'all. I didn't realize what level I was working at, but how do you spell God? Thank you, sir. I understand love. I understand Jesus. That's great. But how do you spell God? G-O-D, right?
That's small.
So it starts off with go, right? Is there a clue there? G-O? All right. You see, God loved us so much, He didn't just stay in heaven and have warm, fuzzy feelings for us. He left heaven to come down here for us. That's right. I want Him so much. So that's next Sunday, okay? I'm going to have you open your Bible to Matthew 16. But while you're opening there, I want to share four sets of thoughts that God had me write down yesterday. Most important thoughts, okay? And I'm just going to run through these kind of quick, but I just feel like I'm supposed to give these to you to provoke your thinking, to challenge you to think, okay? Three age-old questions of mankind. You know what they are? Where did you come from? Why are you here? And where are you going? You know, the purpose of this church is to help you understand those answers. Because every one of you, whether you've ever realized it, you have thought those questions. You've wondered, where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? Every human being on the planet wants to know that answer, wants to know those answers. That's why we try to help you. This is a relationship church to help you with a relationship with God that flows out to others in your life. This is a waiting church. We want to wait on God, not just be about performance, not just pray what we know or say what we know or do what we know. But wait on God and find out what He's doing. I loved it when I heard you say that, Nate. I loved it when you got to that point. Just as like, Father, what do you want to do? This is your day. What would you like to do? That blessed me. The next section I'm gonna come to last, but the next one is the three prayers that are on the back of our cards. Father, please reveal to me. You know, just get one of our cards. You don't need to write these down. They're on the back of our cards. And you can get some. By the way, you can get some right over there on the counter when you get ready to leave. I still don't see them, but I'm sure they're there. By faith. They're over by the frog. That's what I needed to know. Okay. I see. I still don't see them. But that's okay. By faith. You know? Faith is not seen. Okay? It's okay. Y'all don't have to do anything. I see. Thank you so much for putting the cookies on the bottom shelf so I can get a hold of them. But realize there's a lot of people here, and we may need more than that there. You know? Because there, if it... Okay? What? The frog's going to croak them up? Okay. All right. So the three prayers, Father, please reveal to me who you really are, what you're really like. Father, please reveal to me how you personally see, think, and feel toward me, your hopes, dreams, wishes, plans. You are my daddy. And Jesus, whatever it takes, bring me into oneness with you. And then there's the three goals of burning bush that we talk about all the time. You remember these three goals? The three goals that we talk about at burning bush all the time? To know Jesus Christ personally, to live victoriously by hanging out with Jesus every moment, and number three, to love others to Jesus. That's where that John 13:35. You see, I hope when you come here, if you don't experience anything, I hope one thing that you do experience is the love of God. Now, sometimes, and I'm speaking this to the people that come here, sometimes people have expectations on you, and you know we teach about that, Psalm 62:5. You only put your expectation in God. You don't put expectation in people because you'll get let down. But sometimes people are going to put expectation in you of how they expect to be loved. You can't meet everybody's expectation. You've got to let God live His life through you. That's why you've got to learn how to hang out with Him, so that you're led of the Spirit, not head-led, logic, reasoning, not heart-led, emotion and feeling. That's how we've lived our whole life. But learn to be led of the Spirit. Let God live His life through you. Love others right where they're at. But I want to get to this one right here. I hope some of those may challenge you. Maybe you've just heard one thing that will help you. But look in Matthew chapter 16, and I want to share this with you today. The title is, No One Can Really Succeed Without These Four Things. No one can really succeed in life without these four things. I'm going to read Matthew 16:13-17. You ready? When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? I believe if you look at verse 15, I believe that's going to be the entrance question into heaven. Who do you say that Jesus Christ is? That's why when you go to witness to somebody, when you go to deal with somebody, you can't just present God as generic. God is not Buddha. God is not Mohammed. God is not Confucius. God is not any of those. Unless Jesus Christ is a liar. And you have to make a decision. Liar, lunatic, or Lord? Who do you think He is? Well, I believe when we get to heaven, that's going to be the entry question. Who do you think Jesus is? What did you do with Jesus? Did you need Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you personally? You see, He died for everybody, but everybody's not going to heaven. See, He's available to everybody, but He's only applicable to the individual who says, Jesus, You are God in the flesh. You took my place on the cross because that's what I deserve. The individual accepts Jesus, and then what He did becomes applicable to their life. Until then, it's just knowledge. It's just another historical fact in your head. What did you do with Jesus? So look at verse 15. He saith, Jesus saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Who do people say that I am? And they say, oh, this person and that person and this other person. But who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Who is... So the four questions I'm going to say. No one really succeeds without these four things. I'm just going to give them to you in the outline and then go down them. Number one, who is Jesus Christ to you? Who is Jesus Christ to you? Who is Jesus Christ to you? Number two, we need to be planted, grounded, a sure foundation. Okay? We need to be planted, grounded, a sure foundation. In other words, why do you believe what you believe? What is your standard of truth? What is your standard of truth? Well, I think... Okay, that's your opinion. Well, I think, well, I believe, well, my mama told me, well, my preacher said, have I ever tried to get you to be Harveyites and just do whatever I say and just follow me? Or do I try to get you to be Christians and to go to the Word of God and find out what God has to say? Now watch, when y'all come to us and you ask us stuff, there's two main things that we'll ask you. You know, I'm not sure what I should do. And we'll ask you, number one, what does the Scripture say? What does God have to say about it? What is God telling you? Give me chapter and verse. And number two, what is God the Holy Spirit telling you? Harvey, do you have a reason you asked those questions? Man, y'all have good questions. I'm glad you asked that. John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. The woman at the well said to Jesus, you know, he's asked her for a drink of water and that whole scenario, and I'm not going to take y'all through that right now. It's a whole witnessing outline, actually. But he gets to that point and he said, God is a spirit. But do you know that you are a spirit? You are an eternal spirit temporarily living in the body you live in. You are not that body. I don't care how big it is, how little it is, how ugly or how pretty it is. You are not that body. That just happens to be the house your spirit is living in. Jesus said in John chapter 4, 23 and 24 to the woman at the well, God is a spirit. He made us in His image. God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The truth, what is your standard of truth? Thank you. That's mine. But it's not everybody's. Not even in this room. That's not everybody's. The outline. Who is Jesus Christ to you? We need to be planted, grounded, have a sure foundation. What is the importance of Scripture? And number four, prayer. Constant communication with God. If you come here for a period of time, and if you receive and hear and go to put in practice what we're practicing and teaching, that's what you're going to get in your life. Is you're going to get your... See, this is a relationship church. It's a waiting church. But this is a foundation church. Remember we tell you this is about training ministers, and every one of you is called to be a minister, because a minister is not necessarily someone who stands up and leads a congregation. That is one kind of minister. A minister is meeting the needs of another. If you, Frankie, just gave somebody a cup of coffee this morning, you ministered to their need. Well, maybe you ministered to their want. But you ministered to them, okay? If you gave somebody a ride, whose car is that out there? Is that yours, Spencer? Huh? Then you ministered to Jason's need, because he just didn't want to walk all the way here from Ionia. Okay? So you minister to his need. See, ministering is meeting the need of another. Okay? And this is about foundation. This is about helping people to have a foundation of how to live. You want more of Jesus, but how many of us have gone to churches for years and we still stay at this level and we don't know how to find God? We don't know how to get the answers to our prayers. We're not even sure he's listening. We're not sure about truth. I got my opinion. Well, I think this, but the preacher over here said this, the preacher over here said this, and my mommy said that, and the preacher on the TV said that. How do you know what's true? How do you live your life? We go through all these struggles every single day. How do you deal with them? Well, see, I'm all about foundation. And I'm about getting you a foundation. I'm not about trying to tell you what to do in every area of your life, because I'm not trying to run your life. I can't find in the Scripture, Lord Harvey. Okay? I find in the Scripture, aren't you glad? Boy. Quit doing that. I love this lady. Okay. We need the Lord Jesus. We need Him to run our life. So let me give you some scriptures, okay? Who is Jesus Christ to you? In Matthew 16, and you look at verse 16, Simon Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the anointed of God, the anointed Savior of God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Turn over to Matthew 1:23. Matthew 1:23. Now, I'm going to got a lot of verses, so I'm going to kind of go through this kind of quickly. Thank you, dear. Appreciate that. I don't know if you heard it, but I needed that. Thank you. Matthew 1:23. "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Who is Jesus Christ? The Word teaches He is God in the flesh. Turn over to John chapter 5 and verse 18. And by the way, if you want more verses, I have got so many, you probably wouldn't be able to go through them in a week. Okay? But I'm just trying to give you a few. John 5, 18. "Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill Him," Jesus, "because He not only had broken the Sabbath," listen, "but Jesus had also said that God was His Father, making Himself equal with God." Jesus is God. God in the flesh. God, a real simple explanation or understanding of God the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, triune God. God loved us so much. He created us. He created us for fellowship. We're going to go over that in a few minutes. And He gave these rules, and then as people broke them, it's like He created us with a free will. He gave everybody a free will. See, there was a time I was praying for some of y'all, and I don't know if it was y'all, but I'm just going to say it was y'all. I was praying for some people, and God said to me, "Harvey, you have to let them make up their own mind." And I said, "But God, they're making all the wrong choices." And He said, "I know." He said, "But I gave them a free will, and you have to let them exercise their free will. You can't control them." And I'm like, "Lord." And He's going, "You're going to become like me, Harv, more and more as you learn to do this, because you're going to learn to be long-suffering by letting people make the wrong choices." He said, "You got to love them where they're at, but you got to realize they got to move at their own speed." You see, you could tell them, And be like religious and put rules on them. You have to dress a certain way and act a certain way and not go here and not do this. Like I was taught. You could have all that put on you. And you could get people to conform and perform. He said, "But you haven't changed their heart. You haven't changed really where they're at." He said, "That has to come inside of them." And He said, "Only I can do that." So God gives us a free will. And He created us in His image. But then we get a free will, and so people were going astray. And God's like, "Okay, now I'm going to give you the Ten Commandments to give you rules so you don't hurt each other." So God gives all these Ten Commandments. People are still hurting them. He says, "Okay, I'm going to give you all these rules about sacrifice and offering and bringing the blood and blah, blah, blah," and explains all that. And people are still, even when they're doing what's right, like when we went over to Israel 2 years ago, for 3 weeks on a ministry trip. I didn't go on a sightseeing trip. I went on a ministry trip. And I was loving the Jews, but I did not like a lot of them because they're very harsh and legalistic and rigid, and it was not fun. And God says, I give all these things trying to help you, bring you in, but you're not getting it. So He said, what I'm going to do is, He says, I'm going to step out of heaven. See, I love you so much. I'm going to step out of heaven, and I'm going to prepare myself a body to be born in. Step into that body. I'm going to live a perfect life. I'm going to example how to live while you're in this body. The age 30, I'm going to become a preacher. At the age 33, I'm going to become your substitute. And then, because of our nature, we took and killed him. Because we don't like people being better than us. We don't like people saying stuff that makes us irritated. You know, of course, let's kill the messenger. Let's don't deal with the message. Let's kill the messenger. That's why when I teach people about preaching, because I've done it all over the country and with thousands of people at a time, I tell them, you got to find the faces that are friendly, because those other faces will scare you to death. Jeremiah 1:7, it says, don't be afraid of their faces. You think I'm kidding? If you ever stand up here, you'll know what I'm talking about. And it may not even be you. They just may be having a bad day. You know, their shoe may be tight. And they got a bad corn. You know, ooh, and they're making these looks, and you're like up there going, what did I do? What did I do? You know? Some people just, as I said before, both the hitmen that I led to Jesus, after they met Jesus, said to me, you're the only guy I ever met I couldn't kill. I said, what do you mean? They said, the words you said to me irritated me so much I planned on killing you. Well, wait a minute. Why are you killing me? I'm just a mailman for Jesus. Because they didn't like the message. What did King Herod do with John the Baptist? I don't like your message. I want to live with my brother's wife. So I just cut your head off, preacher. That'll stop that. So when Jesus died, then the people that come to God through the blood of Jesus, He comes to live inside of them as the Holy Spirit. There's your triune God. Let's get back to the outline. Who is Jesus Christ to you? Matthew chapter 5, we looked at verse 18. Look at verse 23, in case you're still in doubt. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. Jesus Christ is supposed to be honored the same way as God the Father. Do you see that? Do you see the verse? Verse 23? Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent Him. That's why our whole thing is to show them Jesus. You see, it's all because of Him, and it's all about Him. That's why we put up these signs around here, is to get thoughts inside of you, because that truth will be an eternal truth that will set you free. It will change you when you're out in your daily life, when you have that inside of you. And other things crop up, you know, the distractions of the world and the deceit of Satan and of your flesh. Who is Jesus Christ? He is God in the flesh. We need to be planted, grounded, have a sure foundation. I'm asking you again, what is your standard of truth? Turn over to Psalm 12, 6 and 7. Psalm 12, 6 and 7. It says, the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them, the word of God, from this generation forever. The next verse, you read verse 8. It has to deal with American. Anyway, we need to be planted. Turn to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. You there? I am told you we got to go fast today. But Jesus answered and said, it is written. I love it when my wife preaches. I can remember where all the verses are. My wife always goes, it is written, because she can't remember the address. She can remember the verse, but she can't remember where it is. Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every day, we need to be living by the Word of God. Every minute. I've challenged people for years and said, anytime I say something, anytime I'm doing something, you can ask me, Harvey, why are you doing this? I always have a marching verse. I always have a verse for why I'm doing what I'm doing. Harvey, why are you doing this, or why do you say this? I said, if I can't give you chapter and verse of why I believe what I'm saying, I said, then it's just my opinion. Throw it away. Because my opinion is no better than anybody else's. What is the... We need to be planted. Turn to Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5. Proverbs 30 and verse 5. It says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. I like the next verse that says, add thou not unto His words. Every word of God is pure. Every word of God is pure. This is the Word of God. It does not contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. We need to be reading and hearing what God has to say. We need to be planted. Why am I doing that? I'm on the wrong verses. No wonder. Turn to 1 Corinthians 12:18. 1 Corinthians 12:18. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Corinthians 12:18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. Planted. Next time when you're at home, because you can't do it here because we got parking lot. Next time you're at home or anywhere, when you leave here and you can see green, but like let's say you're at your house. Do you have a spot in your house you like to sit and look out the window? Do you have that? Next time you're at your house and you're looking out the window, I want you to find something green, a bush, a tree, okay? Because I want you to understand the word planted. Planted, there's several things about it. Number one, it's faithful. You can always count on it being there. It's faithful. Number two, it's rooted. That means it's getting the nourishment in that area where it's planted. That's why it says in 1 Corinthians 12:18, it teaches that we have no right to choose where we go to church. You see, I've been in several churches that God put me in that I didn't want to be in. I tried to leave, and God wouldn't let me leave. I mean, He let me go to another service, but He said, I ain't here for you. And I said, I know you're here. I can see you. I know you're here. And He said, I ain't here for you because this ain't where I want you to be. Of course, He probably spoke in good English, but He loves me enough to let me just speak that way. My point is when you are planted where God wants you, you're going to get what you need from that source. It's your life source. And it's where God wants to give you what you need. We need to be planted. Then someone is faithful. Someone can be counted on. Psalm 92:13. Why don't you turn to Luke 4:16, and I'll just quote Psalm 92:13. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. That word flourish means to bloom, prosper, grow in the courts of our God. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Did Jesus do this? Glad you asked. And He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up, and, next four words, as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read, as His custom was. Every Sabbath day, you could count on Him being there. He was planted. He was faithful. But something else I noticed, ministers, He stood up for to read. See, God had a call on His life. And he was a participant and not just a spectator. We need to be a participant where God wants us to be to get the most out of it. A key to getting out of church or getting out of life is you only get out of something what you put into it. You know, I could probably let my daughter come preach this because everything I go to say, I watch her lips and she's saying the same exact words I am. I think you've heard it before, have you? Okay. Psalm 122, verse 1. Would you look there? Psalm 122, verse 1. Oh, my word. So much like me. Psalm 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We need to be planted. The importance of Scripture. Psalm 12, 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words. As silver purified in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Matthew 4, 4. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. How important is Scripture to you? See, I've asked you, and I've challenged you since you came here, when he was singing that song earlier today about I'm reaching higher or higher goal or something, I started laughing because it's like I'm always pressing y'all beyond where you are, you know, challenging you. Well, how important is Scripture to you? I've challenged you to read the Word every day. Job 23:12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips, but I have esteemed, I have made important the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. It is so important to read that Word. It's going to change your thinking. It's going to change your outlook. It's going to change the way that you act. It's going to change the way that you feel. The Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, please. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. It says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. In other words, be careful who you're listening to, because you become like who you associate with. But it says, continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing that they're from somebody that was teaching you the truth. Verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable. What's it profitable for? Doctrine, teaching, for correction, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect or complete, throughly furnished unto all good works. God has the Word of God. It's going to make you a complete individual. It's going to help you in every area of your life. The Word of God. I'm not going to read this, but I want to give you this thought. I'm challenging you with a thought. Do you want more of God? I'm challenging you. This is an individual challenge. I'm saying it out here corporately, but it's each individual. Do you really want more of God? If you were a farmer and you wanted more corn, how would you get it? I'm sorry? No, it's not rain dance. Okay. Well, if you wanted more corn, how would you get it? Plant more. Do you remember in Matthew 13, the parable of the sower? The sower went forth to sow. Do you remember that? And when Jesus gave the interpretation later in the chapter, they said, his disciples says, what is this? And Jesus, what did he say the seed was they were planting? The Word of God. If you want more of God, you need to plant more of God. You want a God crop? Plant God seed. This is the seed of God. Get this inside of you. I know about every one of you could give my testimony about how I was a drug dealer and met Jesus and all of that. But have you ever got it that the way I got saved was I was reading this Bible even the night before I got saved? I was reading the Scripture. and I read all four Gospels, and I saw Jesus on the cross for me, and it made me want Him, I was drawn by this. I'm sorry, but one time I was down in Tallahassee, Florida, where I'm from, and I went to a preacher of a huge church that God led me to on a night when there was just him and another man there from the church. Now, this was a huge church, Tallahassee Baptist Church or something. It was huge. I mean, they got a TV ministry. It's huge. Like, you'd get lost in the parking lot trying to get in the building. Okay? Huge. And somehow I went there to meet the preacher, and I gave my testimony. It was just him and another man. I think somebody was with me in my memory. I can't remember who. And I gave him my testimony about how I got saved in the state of Tennessee. And I'm in Florida when I'm talking to him. In his church, in his office. And the preacher, who had made me respect him, he said, when I got through giving my testimony, he said, "Will you forgive me?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Where did you live?" I said, "Well, I lived over on Sunset Lane over by Amos P. Gabby High School." He said, "We have gone witnessing in that neighborhood." He said, "We've tried to reach this town of about 250,000 people. We've tried to reach this town for Jesus." He said, "But you grew up here for 20 years and we never reached you." He said, "Will you forgive me?" That man became a giant in my mind. I'll never forget him. Because rightly so, he took it personal that he, as a minister of God, had not reached me in the town where I grew up, which was his town. He was responsible. We're responsible for the people in our lives. We're responsible to show them Jesus. And it's got to start, the kingdom of God is a kingdom of humility. And it's got to start by us admitting, I'm not presenting myself as the example of Christ. How many times have you heard me say, "Hi, I'm the leader. If you expect me to be better than you, I promise I'll let you down because I'm a good example of a rotten sinner that needs Jesus 24 hours a day." I'm not the example of Christ. I want to be. But that's just pride presenting myself as such. You understand? It's all about Jesus. It's about getting people to see Jesus. People say, "You're such a turkey," or whatever, and I go, "You're absolutely right." A policeman pulled me over, I told you one time. Well, this was just the one of the times, okay? Sorry. I told you! Good example of a sinner! No, it wasn't him when he was a cop. So, and it wasn't him when he was a cop. And he pulls me over and he came up and said, "Sir, do you know what you were doing?" And I'm thinking, "No, what was I doing this time?" You know, it's like I'm used to getting in trouble. What did I do this time? And he said, "Sir, you were speeding." True story. Go and check out the video when you get to heaven. I'm telling you like it is. It was in Ohio, right as we had gone south. We were heading down toward Florida and left, you know. And he came up and said, "Sir, do you know what you were doing?" I said, "No, sir. Why did you pull me over?" He said, "You were speeding." And I said, "You know, I'm really sorry." I said, "I'm not a good example of Christ. I'm a good example of the sinner. But can I tell you about Jesus? Because he's my best friend." And the cop just stood there and went. And I just told him about Jesus. And after a little while, he said, I presented the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. When I got done, he said, "Sir, I'm going to let you go this time with a warning." I said, "I'm going to let you go with a warning too." You know? You see, I'm talking about real life. I'm not just talking about theory here. I'm not talking about just speaking to someone. I'm talking about living this. But it's got to be in your heart. You got to embrace humility. The importance of Scripture, where is it in your life? And the last thing, prayer, constant communication with God. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. I remember when God first brought this to my attention in 1978. I got in church in 76, church in 77, started Bible college in 78. And in 78, I remember working at a 200-man machine shop at 13 Half and Stevenson in Madison Heights over by Detroit. And I got to read my Bible a lot there. And I remember reading, pray without ceasing. And I said, what does that mean? Pray without ceasing. How do you pray? I thought you had to do this all the time. I said, how can I do this? I got to do my job. Pray without, what do you mean pray without ceasing? What does that mean? I didn't know. Do you ever read the Bible and you don't know what it's saying? Well, do you ask Him? Ask Him! That's the next two verses, Matthew 7, 7 and 8. Ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Do you ever notice that? A-S-K is ask. Ask, seek, knock, ask. God's like, clue. And in the very next verse He says, are you listening? Everyone that asks receives. Everyone. James 4:2. You don't have, you have not because you ask not. If I'm sitting at the table, ask DBJ. He's sitting at my table. If I want the salt, I ask for it. I don't just sit and go, oh, I wish I had the song. Well, why do you do that in life? Ask God. If you ain't supposed to be asking, He'll let you know. And if He don't let you know, He's gonna deposit it into your account. The funds may not be available yet, but they're coming. They're there. Because you already asked. He promised. He's a man of His word. He's not like us. He keeps His word. Pray without ceasing. What does that mean, God? Pray about everything. But let me give you another word. Include Him in everything. I'm going to drive here. God, which way should I drive? Harvey, it's the straightest route. Just go that way. Okay. God, I'm going to brush my teeth. God, I'm going to the bathroom. You think I'm kidding? Pray about everything. Include Him in everything. Include God in everything. Folks, I'm challenging you with a question. Do you believe that God moves at the sound of your voice? Listen to what I'm saying. Because I'm wondering, do you pray? I'm asking you for your sake. If I want to have a good relationship with Him, how many times have you heard me say this? I got to talk to Him. I got to listen to Him. We hang out together. I want to have a good relationship with God. I got to talk to Him. That's prayer. I got to listen to Him. That's the Word of God. Let Him speak to my heart. And then I hang out with Him. Include Him in everything I'm doing. Everything. Include Him. Prayer. Ask. I'm going to end it by saying this. God made us. I'm serious. If you haven't got anything, get this today. God made us like Himself. I mean, nobody in here came from a monkey, right? Or an orangutan? Okay, here we go. God made us like Himself. God wants to be liked. God wants to be loved. God wants to be accepted. God wants to be believed in. God wants somebody of their own free will. Somebody. Is there one here? God wants somebody of their own free will to want Him in their life. He gave everybody a free will. The entry question is, what do you believe about Jesus? What did you do with Jesus? Who is Jesus to you? But the next question he's going to ask everybody is, what did you do with Jesus? Did you learn to love while you were here? Do you know what love is? Two times in 1 John chapter 4, it defines love. God is love. Not like I hurt my chihuahua. That's some lower level whatever imagination that man came up with. Love. Did you learn to God? Did you learn to love? Did you learn to lay down your life for another? Did you learn to accept somebody right where they're at? Did you learn to believe in somebody? Did you learn to give? Did you learn compassion? Did you learn caring? Did you learn to love? God made us in His image. God desires the individual, each one of us. He created us, but gave us a free will, and we get to choose how we're going to spend our lives, how we're going to spend our energy, how we're going to spend our attention. You get to choose. Are you going to love Him? Are you going to include Him? Are you going to believe in Him? Do you want Him to be in your life? Oh, not right now. I'm going to the movies, God. I'm not sure you really like this one. Why don't you wait right here? Maybe you shouldn't go there. God made us just like Himself. Those things that you are longing for, to be loved, to be believed in, to be accepted for who you are, for somebody to desire to be with you, you got those from your daddy. That's why we're a relationship church. See, my job is just to keep this in front of you. God has me stay away from here so all of y'all can live it out without me controlling it. Because if I come here, I put my hands on it. So God says, stay away. And then all of y'all are just like blooming and sprouting all over the place. It's really cool watching God work in every one of you. It's awesome. But my job is to keep reminding you. It's all about Jesus. It's all about turning our focus on Him. It's about, what is life about? Why am I here? Is it about me? Remember? That's why it's up there. You see it? Do you see it? It's not about me. It is about Jesus. And He's all about others. That lady's name explains it. Her name is Joy. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. You see, when you put yourself where you like, your life is all about Jesus, then Jesus is like, I'm about others. Why don't you go give them a hug? I told you, I'm driving down the road. He'll say, Harv, you see that homeless person? I go, yeah. He says, I want to hug him. Would you loan me your body? I'm like, okay. That's how we met Brother Bill and Minister Mike. I'm driving down the road. He said, pull over. I want to hug him. It's letting God live. He gave up His life so we could live, didn't He? What if we gave Him our life back and let Him live His life through us? Lose our life so He could live. It's a much higher plane. It's much more fulfilling. And it's what you're looking for. I want more of Jesus. I'm just saying. It's how to get more of Jesus. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you.